Tell me your story. I'm Richard Dugan. My guest today is the Reverend Juliet Nightingale. She's a multiple NEDer, near-death experiencer, if you will. She is also the host of a groundbreaking program, Toward the Light, and it focuses primarily on near-death and similar spiritually transformative experiences, and it can be heard at 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday, and she features a stellar roster of special guests who are both experiencers as well as researchers in the realms of near-death experiences and related topics. Tell Me Your Story is coming up next.
Walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Welcome to a Saturday. It is the last Saturday of... No, it is not. We have one more Saturday in this month, I just realized. Second to last. In August, we're heading into the fall season. I'm very excited about that because, well, it cools down, and that's what I like. We're here today with our special guest, and her name is Juliet Nightingale, and she hosts a radio program called Toward the Light. And what's fascinating about that, from my perspective, is the fact that every time you hear about people who are who have died or what have you, and you see these, you hear about these folks like Ghost Whisperer, the television show, always talking about going toward the light. And I'm guessing, Juliet, that that's sort of where the title of the program, as well as the website, Toward the Light, came from. And welcome to our program.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure and honor to be with you.
Where did that title come from the description I just gave?
Well, I think so, really. This is something that came to me a number of years ago when I actually started writing a column and lots of articles. Funnily enough, back in England in the 60s, I was a music journalist, and so my journalism has moved from music to mysticism, and they're both very similar or related in a lot of ways. So really as a result of my experiences as a multiple NDEer, I'm being on multi-dimensions, Toward the Light just naturally came to me. After the fact, I actually found out that there was a book called Toward the Light, but it's got nothing to do with that. And I think, as you were saying, a lot of people do refer to going toward the light. However, with me, it had nothing to do with going through a tunnel or anything like that. I was just enveloped in the light. And it's very, very powerful to have that experience. So that's basically how that evolved. And then... the organization developed, and hence the website, towardthelight.org. Then the radio program evolved out of that 2.5 years ago, so I'm very, very blessed to be able to do the show and to have these special, special people on the show, many of whom are friends, many of whom have become friends as a result of connecting with me. So if you want to make best friends, just host a radio show.
Well, that's definitely a good way to do it. We're going to continue talking more about this as we move through, especially your radio program, which can be heard on Sundays. Matter of fact, tomorrow in particular at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And it can be heard at what website?
It is bbsradio.com, not to be confused with the BBC. It's BBS as in Philly. Actually stands for Blog and Broadcasting Service, so bbsradio.com, and it does air live every Sunday, as you said, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, and 10 p.m. British Summertime in the UK.
And we actually are an affiliate of BBC here in Santa Barbara, which is kind of interesting.
Yes, yes.
So you are a multiple near-death experiencer, if that's a right, if that's even a word, I don't even know, but needless to say.
Well, it is a word, actually.
Okay. When was your first experience, and how did you feel after the fact? That must have been incredibly unnerving, or was it?
Well, actually, no, because my first experiences were as an infant and as a child, and because... In a manner of speaking, I didn't know any better that it wasn't a common thing. You know, being a mystic, being multidimensional, being a clairvoyant, all of that, I thought everybody was like that. So I was constantly popping in and out of this body because I was constantly ill. And so the NDEs as a child and infant weren't as, distinct, just because I didn't really know the difference. It was just, I was just constantly, more out of body than in it, more in other dimensions than I was in this one.
So as a child, it was sort of, we could say, more of a natural, if we can use the term natural and phenomenon in the same sentence, it was just sort of normal for you because of what you were going through. And this is, again, coming from the mind of a child.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I felt really blessed to have that, you know, and then it was only later on that I started realizing, goodness me, that this ended up being more unique. But I'm going to slightly contradict myself, because in recent years, as the near-death experience has become more broad range and well known, we've discovered that it is very common, especially with the advanced technology and the medical establishment and all of that, for people to be revived and what have you. There's literally millions of near-death experiences all over the world, so we can't really say it's that uncommon. Certainly not anymore. So the big NDE that I had, that I wrote about, that is on my website, it's called Nightingale's NDE, or the Near-Death Experience. It took place in the mid-1970s, and that was a very long near-death experience, again, as a result of colon cancer. So that, you know, as a grown-up, I was able to make more distinctions, and funnily enough, even all of these years later, I'm still assimilating all of the things that happened to me during that near-death episode and integrating it. And as PMA Atwater points out, she's been on your show. She's a good friend of mine. She's also been on my show. She talks about the importance of the after effects of the near-death experience. That's just important, integrating that as the actual experience itself. And she points out it can take at least 7 years, up to 30 odd years, to have, you know, to integrate the after effects and the experience. But I say it could actually take a lifetime to integrate all of that, because it's just, it impacts you in such a profound way.
Well, it is something we're going to continue talking about on this radio program today, as we continue talking with Juliet Nightingale, Reverend Juliet Nightingale. And the website is Toward the Light, and we'll be giving you information how you can get in touch with Juliet, as well as tuning in tomorrow afternoon to her radio show. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. And we have a blog at richarddugan.com. If you'd like to leave us some comments, we'd love to hear from you. Talk to us, richarddugan.com, and we'll be back with more Tell Me Your Story in just a moment. I'm Richard Dugan. Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story here on a Saturday afternoon, and we're talking with Juliet Nightingale, and she hosts a radio program called Toward the Light, Sundays at 2 p.m. Pacific, and she also takes care of a website, has a website called towardthelight.org. And it is a rather unique website. It is filled with resources for you to check out if you've had these kinds of experiences, these spiritually transformative experiences, whether they be a near-death experience. Now, we've also talked, Juliet, about not only near-death, but out-of-body, and we even had a guest talking about what was referred to as sudden death syndrome. And again, you know, people are curious about these kinds of experiences, who haven't had them. I've even interviewed a gentleman who's had multiple out-of-body experiences and continues to have them, and he enjoys them so much. I've even asked him, I says, well, have you ever decided not to come back? A long pause, which means that he has considered the possibility of not coming back. What about you and yours, the three main near-death experiences that you've had? You said that they were inspiring. There was no fear. I mean, especially as a child, this was sort of normal, as we discussed. Have you ever felt, when you are in that space, in that place, you know what, I'm just going to stay away?
Well, that's an interesting question, because a number of NDEs are given the choice to either stay on the other side or to return to the physical plane. And obviously, they do because of having children or loved one or just feeling some kind of commitment or obligation to fulfill something on this side. I, however, was not granted that choice. I was told every time that I had to come back, and it is because of the work that I needed to do, mainly bearing the message that life is indeed eternal, that death is an illusion, it doesn't even exist. We just transition to a higher frequency. A good illustration of that is when you're listening to radio, and let's say you're at 101.9 and you decide to move to a higher frequency of 107, that's basically what happens when you transition to the other side. You're actually moving into a higher vibrational frequency. You do not die. You do not lose your consciousness. You do not lose your sense of self. And in fact, the one thing that is gained is a profound sense of peace, of love, of not experiencing fear. And the only thing that you lose is a physical body, because you don't need that earth suit any longer because you're not traversing on the earth plane. Just like when an astronaut goes into outer space, he dons a spacesuit, but when he's done with that sojourn, then he removes the spacesuit. So basically, just to put it in simple analogies, that's what happens. So during all of my near-death episodes, I felt a profound sense of peace, being enveloped in unconditional love. And I'm so sorry that's become such a cliche anymore, because to experience that, it's just ineffable. One can't describe what experiencing the unconditional love is, not to mention being completely free of fear. Again, we're talking about a very high vibrational frequency. So this is what I experienced whilst being on the other side. I never, ever wanted to come back, but because of, for some reason, my being needed to do this work, and probably a lot of this is the writing that I'm doing, the radio show that I'm doing, because I do have a background in media. It's reaching people all over the world, and I'm just so in awe of the emails that I receive from people. In fact, just a beautiful email I received this morning from a young individual who's only 25 in the UK, who's so inspired by the radio show. And I'm very, very heartwarmed by that, because I realize, all right, this is helping people gain peace of mind. And my goal is to help eliminate the fear of death, because, again, it doesn't exist.
When you're doing your radio programs, actually, I'm going to shift away from that for just a moment. In your near-death experiences that you've had, as you've described, and wonderful descriptions, it sounds like a place that we all desire to go, that it's, you know, we want to do this. But yours were, of course, brought on by illness in the three cases specifically. And I'm just wondering, in spite of what you've shared with us as to why you came back, I mean, that must have played some role in your desire to stay away, to stay in that place, in that energetic dimension, if you will, rather than come back to the sickly body that you had left behind.
That's very, very true, because unfortunately this body has been sickly for all of my life. And funnily enough, as a child, I was constantly in and out of hospital with pneumonia. And then as a young, as an adolescent and young adult, actually as a young adult, I had tuberculosis. And it's quite frightening when you can't breathe. And so I did have death experiences from that. And it was very, very challenging. So you're absolutely right that, you know, I was mortified at the thought of coming back into this plane, not only coming back into the body, but also just being in this low vibrational frequency, because this is, unfortunately, a rather hostile plane. And, of course, we're all working on that, aren't we, to raise the frequency even of this earth plane that we're traversing right now. But indeed, I did not want to come back. It was very, very hard for me. but I'm choosing to be a good sport about it and be as loving and in service to others as I can possibly be.
You're from the UK, so a stiff upper lip and all that's right.
You got it.
When so you're in the process of, I mean, you've written a number of articles, and people can certainly read those at your website, towardthelight.org. You are in the process of writing a book. That is a question.
Yes. Actually, as I was saying a little earlier, I want to focus on doing a book for children that is centered on are being multidimensional and totally and naturally telepathic and intuitive with one another. And I'm actually going to be giving a presentation a fortnight from today. That's actually 2 weeks at the Edgar Cayce Center, the ARE Center here in Virginia Beach, about that very thing on intuition and telepathy and the nature of consciousness and how we experience this as being multidimensional beings. So since I'm also an artist, kind of a dormant one at this time, I do plan to illustrate it myself as well as write it. Another note I do want to make quickly is that there is an article on my website that I think your listeners will be interested in. It's called The Dying Process from an Experiences Perspective. That actually details what it feels like to die, to go through the dying process, to actually transition, and then to be on the other side. And actually, being at a hospice is what inspired me to write that article, because, of course, they deal with that a lot in hospice work.
As a matter of fact, we've had a couple of guests who are also in this particular realm, if you will, as far as the work they're doing, and they've written a training manual. One woman has actually written a training manual for that very purpose, which I think is pretty extraordinary. And it must, because I've never worked in a hospice, but from our discussions, it is, for most people, it would be a very strange place to work, but a very difficult place, not so much strange. And yet it would be strange to hear someone say, but it's a wonderful experience. Just, and you know, I guess it would take someone to be able to see at those levels that you're talking about, to be able to bring that to light, to say, yes, it is. It's an extraordinary experience. And you've only experienced, you've been in hospices before as far as visiting and so forth?
Yes, and actually it was a training manual that inspired me to write the article, because it was written by a registered nurse, not an experiencer. And so, you know, she never indicated that she was an NDE, so it can just be hypothetical at best. So I felt like I needed to take this a step further and write about the dying process from the experiencer's perspective. And I think it's helped a lot of people. And I really want to say that being in hospice is very, very beautiful and rewarding, again, especially as people start to become more aware of what dying actually is. Hospice workers will actually simultaneously experience the deathbed visions that the dying people have, even sometimes having not near-death experience, but going out of body and sharing in the NDE that patients have. It's really quite profound, and some of the guests have been on my show, Dr. Peter Finnick and Dr. Pim van Lommel, have spoken about this at length, because they focus on DBVs or DBP, which stands for deathbed phenomena, a lot. So, again, as people become more educated about all of this stuff, it's not going to be so taboo and scary and, oh, all of that stuff. That's what we're trying to do away with, is this stigma and this fear associated with transitioning. And there's actually been a lot of discussion about living and dying consciously, and a quality of transitioning.
I think you might be referring to, and I may be correct, you correct me if I'm wrong, Diane Goebel is the woman who has written the training manual that might be referring to?
You know, I have to admit that I forget cool mm-hmm. it was. It may have been.
Right.
It's been a few years ago now, and so I honestly don't remember her name. I apologize.
No worries there. It's one of the fascinating subjects that we have discussed here on this program, the issue of transitioning, as I like to call it, rather than death
yes.
and dying, because that particular word or those words are so negatively charged. And part of the purpose in doing these kinds of programs is to do just exactly what you stated, and that is to demystify it, to take the fear out of it, and to understand that it is, if you will, a natural part of our existence here on this plane. We're going to talk more about this as we continue here with Juliet Nightingale. She is I like to refer to folks as the proprietors, if you will, of websites. So we'll refer to you as the proprietor of the Toward Your Light, Toward the Light, towardthelight.org. That's towardthelight.org and a radio program by the same name. Juliet, stay with us, and I ask you, the listener, to stay with us here on Tell Me Your Story as we continue to talk about near-death experiences and the spiritually transformative events that are taking place in our lives here on this planet. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Go to the website, richarddugan.com, richarddugan.com. Give me an email, richard@richarddugan.com, and check out the blog. Stay with us. There's more to come. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. We're talking with Reverend Juliet Nightingale. She hosts the radio show and a website, towardthelight.org, where you can link to the radio show Sundays at 2 p.m. Pacific time. And we're going to continue talking about near-death experiences. Send us an email, richard@richarddugan.com. Go to the blog and give us your comments about our programs. We would love to hear from you. We're going to continue talking with Juliet, and we'll be right back. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, and we're talking with Juliet Nightingale. She is the host of Tell Me Your Story, the radio show. It's going to be accessed through tellmeyourstory.org. You can also get to that website via my website, richarddugan.com, and the radio shows that we've had, including this one, which will be available following this program. All views are expressed that are expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, owner, or advertisers of the station on which you're hearing this program. And we are talking with Juliet. We were talking during the break, Juliet, about an experience that happened more than once with my wife, who basically the heart rate slowed down to somewhere in the 20s, which is obviously not good, and she had the sensation of her body and her soul separating. And for her, it was, as she described it, not actually uncomfortable. It's just uneasy was the word that was coming to my mind. It was uncomfortable.
Not painful.
So can you share with us a little bit of your insights? Because apparently, as you shared, you had something similar happen to you.
I did. And I went through a period where I was having challenges with my heart. Normally, my heart has been quite healthy. It's one healthy thing in my whole body. But as a result of all the pressure with other things going on with my body, it started to react in a strange sort of way. But I remember a number of years ago, I was in the intensive care unit in a hospital, and I felt like I was being squeezed out of my body, like being squeezed out of a toothpaste tube. It was a very strange sensation, and the nurse who was attending to me, thank goodness she was there at the moment, was kind of eerie, because at the same moment that was happening to me, the lights were dimming in the room. So somehow the nurse pulled me back into the body, and this happens often when someone is preparing to transition a child or a loved one, or even just a medical staff personnel can actually pull the individual back into the body and keep someone from transitioning. And, you know, a couple of people, again, who have been on my show, they're good people to talk with about this, because their focus, their research has been centered on cardiac arrest and heart attacks. And I've learned that there are two different things. Cardiac arrest, people don't even really feel it. They're gone, basically. Whereas a heart attack, people do sort of feel the agony of the heart malfunctioning, as it were, and it can be very painful, and then they pop out of their body. But a lot of people will have experiences, and it could be a number of different things that cause it, where they'll be, for lack of a better word, just pushed out of their body or squeezed out of their body. It doesn't necessarily hurt, but it's a strange sensation where you feel a lot of pressure. And then you're brought back into the body if you've still got something to do on this plane. It is a common occurrence. And as I was saying during break, too, NDEs can be just a few seconds, or they can be even a few weeks or a few, when someone is dealing with comatose, as I was during the episode with cancer. And then I actually lost my vital signs on my birthday.
Oh, wow.
So that was very interesting. I can tell people I'm 32 without lying. Oh, my.
Well, now that raises the interesting question that goes around as to what is happening to an individual who is in a coma or a vegetative state. What is happening with, I like to refer to their essence, because I'm not sure whether it's their soul, their spirit, and I know they're just terms, but that the animating force that makes us who we are, that resides within this vehicle. Can you shed any insight on that type of situation?
Oh, absolutely, and I like your use of the word essence, because I also use that word quite a lot, really. A lot of people, and this was my experience too, funnily enough, and in the article, once again, the dying process from an experiencer's perspective describes this. When I moved out of body into the coma, I wasn't even aware of being so-called unconscious, because from my vantage point, I never lost consciousness. I just moved out of the body. So that's why I was saying, sort of describing being in the near-death state for a number of weeks, because I was in the coma, let's see, from Boxing Day, 26 December, to 6th or 7th February. So what would that be, 6 or 7 weeks?
That's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my birthday is on 2nd February, so, and that's when I flatlined completely. Flatlining and the clinical definition of death is when there's no pulse, no brainwave activity, and no breath. Okay, so I lost all of that on my birthday. However, whilst I was in a coma, I was still conscious. I was going all over the place. I went into deep space, but also I connected with and communicated with the other comatose patient who was next to me, in the bed next to me.
Wow. And so, by the way, our jaws just dropped here when you told us what your birth date was.
Ah.
Because that's my wife's birthday, too.
Oh, well, lucky. I guess we're destined to have these powerful, transformative experiences.
Apparently.
That's quite amazing.
There are no coincidences, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking with Juliet Nightingale. And she is a reverend. You are a reverend. Any particular denomination?
I'm a minister of metaphysics.
Ah.
Yes. And I've,
very nice.
Yes.
I like that.
I consider myself more of a prayer chaplain. I'm not a preacher, thank goodness. God help me.
Well, we're talking with the Right Reverend Juliet Nightingale. She is the host of the radio show. Tell me, that's
no,
my show.
Light.
Tell me your story. Toward the Light. Unbelievable. Toward the Light, and you can access it through towardthelight.org. You can access towardthelight.org through my website as well, richarddugan.com, and we're talking about near-death experiences and these other aspects of. I find that fascinating that you were, what, carrying on a conversation or somehow communicating with the person in the other bed next to you who is also having the same experience that you were out of your body.
Yeah.
I often wonder about that in terms of wards where in hospitals where you have these multiple beds with all of these people who are in various states of various states of consciousness. We say unconscious, but I don't know that they are. I don't think we really can define it. And who knows? Maybe they're having some kind of a party, hovering over the bodies or something.
Well, one thing I would like to comment on about that is that for the most part, I wasn't hovering over my body. I was so indifferent to the body. It's like, beam me up, Scotty, get me out of here. I'm not interested, you know. So I actually left the body and went far and away from it. And it was only actually when I was being told that I had to return to the physical plane. And what's interesting with that is I was told a couple of very important points. First of all, that I had to bear the message that life is indeed eternal, and this isn't just a cliche. It is fact that life is eternal. I was also told that this plane is nothing but an illusion. It's a hologram. That's what it is. The collective consciousness, infinite possibility, infinite consciousness creates this hologram that we are, through our consciousness, participating in. What's interesting is that when I was looking into this plane, I saw the waves and particles. It looked very sort of translucent. It wasn't solid at all. Also, it was very drab compared to the colors and the light and the beauty that I beheld on the other side. And what's interesting is that my friend David Icke discussed this in his beautiful book called Infinite Love is the Only Truth, Everything Else is Illusion. And that title is absolute fact, according to my experience. So the wonderful thing about quantum physics is that even the scientific community is starting to understand this now, that this is just it's a hologram. And then I was also told that I wasn't to be involved with this plane. I wasn't to identify with it because this isn't who I am. Again, it's just a garb that I'm donning whilst traversing on this plane.
Makes me think of a line from the old, well, not old, but the Star Trek Next Generation, the episode, Data's holding this box. It's no more than 8 inches by 8 inches. It's an 8-inch cube. But in it is an entire world that's going on and so forth. And he looks up and around. He says, "Computer, end program." And in essence, this is as you say, it's a hologram, and
yeah.
This is a program that the great computer, if you will, has constructed for our amusement. Then,
yes, and really, I regard this plane as a huge laboratory on a school and a playground. You know, we come here to experiment, to explore, to experience things. And often in order to find out that we are light, we need to find out what we are not, the contrast, finding out, discovering the opposite in order to discover what really is. And I also like David Icke's analogy. He too refers to this as a body computer.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing about consciousness is that it does not come from the brain. It comes through the brain. So again, if you look at the brain as a radio, the radio set is not the broadcaster, it's the receiver of the broadcast. So the broadcast comes through the radio, it comes through the brain, and the computer still needs the operator to operate the computer. So the body is just the computer that is being operated by infinite consciousness.
Well, we've transitioned from one subject to another, so I'm going to ask you then if you have received any information from either your guests or your experiences. Why, you say you view this world as a laboratory, okay, and I can understand that, and so we're sort of all scientists. But to what end, for what purpose would be the question that most people would be asking. It's like, I've had enough of this stuff, whatever this stuff is, that, you know, I don't want any more drama, and I don't want any more this and that and the other. You know, it goes back to that proverbial question, why are we here?
Yes, and that is a very powerful and universal question. And again, what I see with all of this, and I've written about this in my blogs too, if you put in letter N number 2 light.blogspot.com, I address that quite a lot in that blog, so you'll find articles about that. But again, it's really about discovering that we are infinite consciousness. We are divine light beings who can never be separate from the light source. we are a part of the light source. And as we become more aware of our own divinity, then the whole vibrational frequency on this plane is going to be elevated so that it can be a beautiful, you know, we can create a beautiful painting, as it were, of something that we're going to celebrate and no longer dread. So, you know, I think it's sort of like creating a crude drawing, because we're just learning how to create, and we're learning how to understand just what our creative abilities are, who we are, what we are capable of doing. And a big part of that is to stop believing that we are limited, because really, in truth, we are not limited beings. We need to overcome this mind control and brainwashing that we've been subjected to, that keeps insisting that we're slaves, that we're worthless, that we're sinners, and all of this malarkey, when nothing could be further from the truth. And as a result of having these experiences on the other side, or just being out of body, like David A. Warner, I'm sure that's the lad that you were talking about who's been on your show.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we go out of body and we're not dealing with these limitations of the physical plane anymore, we really start to tap into how powerful and beautiful and infinite we really, really are. Again, the veil is being dissolved and the quickening is taking place. So as we become more self-aware, and again, that's our divine self, then the possibilities become limitless as to what we are able to do. So I honestly do not see this being locked in fear, which again is a very low vibrational frequency, as opposed to love, which is a very high vibrational frequency. That's why the common saying is you cannot mix love and fear, because they're completely different frequencies.
Mm-hmm. A couple things. First of all, David Warner is going to be back on our program on the 25th of October, basically in 2 months, to talk further about his experiences. The other thing that struck me was your description of one of the reasons we're here is to learn what we're not. And it's almost sort of a Sherlock Holmes-esque kind of theory that the way that he deduces, using the evidence around him, the conclusion or how something happened or who is guilty is, he eliminates all of the possibilities that don't fit the evidence.
There you go.
And no matter how implausible or improbable the conclusion is, that has to be it, because you've already eliminated all of the other possibilities that don't fit.
Exactly, and it's really about the process of discovering what doesn't work, and then you ultimately learn what does work. Mm-hmm. So I like to avoid the words right and wrong, good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about what doesn't work versus what does work. And so we've got to do all of this trial and error, as it were, going through this process. All right, that doesn't work, so let's just keep trying. And then when we do discover through experience, and that's a very important word, experience,
mm-hmm.
what does work, then we grok it, then we own it completely, and there's no question anymore as to what is real. That is one of my favorite words, grok, because you just wholly get it.
Stranger in a Strange Land, and I still haven't finished the book.
I'm still working on it. Well, I'm a stranger in a strange land, I promise you. Oh, blimey, I'm a stranger in a strange land.
Stranger in a Strange Land, yes. I forget who wrote that, but I still have my copy. It's a thick volume, and I just haven't had a chance to sit down and finish. I'm going to have to find the audiobook so that I can listen to it.
There you go.
But you're the first person that I have that I have met who actually has, who not only has used the word, but understands what it means. I mean, it's on a cellular, a subatomic level. An understanding, an awareness, a complete, you just comprehend completely.
Yes, with your whole being, and mm-hmm. that's what's important, and that's why I always stress to people that experience is very, very important. I mean, I love to study, I love to read, and of course I do a lot of research for doing my own show, but there's nothing like the experience to back it up.
Absolutely. Go out and grok it, everybody, whatever your experience is. And grok this. We're taking another break here. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Juliet Nightingale, born 2-2. And we're going to talk more, a little bit more anyway, before we end our program. This is Tell Me Your Story. I am Richard Dugan, and this program is here every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time, as well as available on the Internet. We stream live at richarddugan.com, and we also have archives of all of our programs going back to almost a year, the 8th of September, 07. Stay with us. Tell me your story. What's on your mind? Go to my blog and let me know. Give us a call during the shows if you have an opportunity. Email me, richard@richarddugan.com. Love to hear from you. Juliet Nightingale, Reverend Juliet Nightingale, host of Toward the Light and available through towardthelight.org, is here with us talking about NDEs and near-death experiences and apparently a kinship that we share here, which is rather interesting. And again, I do not believe that there are coincidences. I would actually rephrase that to say they are coincidence, if you will, that there's no accident in this world. And I find it fascinating that as we talk about these different things, more and more people are beginning to acknowledge, yeah, you know, I had something like that. It wasn't exactly the way you described it, but, you know, I had those same kinds of feelings or sensations or awarenesses. I take it you're running across not specifically your guests, but other people that you come across throughout your day-to-day life that are having these kinds of things?
Oh, sure, and my guests as well. And, you know, what's really interesting, Richard, talk about universal consciousness, is I use the word the same way that you do, because people use the word coincidence in terms of chance or mm-hmm. to mean chance, and I say no, if you think of it as coincidence.
Exactly.
Coincide. And that's exactly the word that I use. So yeah. You and I are simultaneously tapping into that universal consciousness, and in fact, there's a lot more of this going on all the time, and it's really exciting. And a perfect example of this is my friend PMA Atwater, myself, Dr. Peter Finnick, Dr. Pim Van Lommel, all of these people have been on my show, David Icke. It's so wonderful because we all came up with these same analogies as describing being on the other side or describing consciousness as like the radio coming through the radio, but the broadcaster is not the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's very beautiful. In fact, I've got an article from Dr. Peter Finnick, too, actually, on my website, and I believe also a couple from Dr. Peter Finnick, Dr. Peter Finnick and Dr. Pim Van Lommel, excuse me, describing this stuff. You know, for some reason, people think that they need to hear it from a quote-unquote scientist or physician in order for it to be believable or credible. I honestly beg to differ, but anyway, we're all agreeing on this, and I think that as people read not only my articles and articles from PMA Atwater, but as they're reading them from physicians, I've had physicists on my show, Dr. Claude Swanson, author of Synchronized Universe, brilliant book, where he's validating the NDE, the OBE, telepathy, remote viewing, ESP, all of this stuff, and double and triple blind laboratory tests. I've had Dr. Mario Beauregard, a neurophysicist, on my show, and he's the author of The Spiritual Brain, again alluding to the fact that we are souls who have a brain and a body.
Interesting. Well, PMH Atwater will be our guest on the 20th of September, and we're going to begin our sojourn down her trail, as it were, and she'll be back again for two Saturdays in November talking about, again, other subjects as well relating to all of this. So we're very excited about having that opportunity, and we're also very pleased to have had the opportunity to have you on our program and talk about your experiences and what you share with folks through your radio program, Toward the Light, available through towardthelight.org. And again, we thank you so much for joining us here on the program, and we look forward to having you back again in the near future.
Oh, it's been such an honor, and thank you so much for having me. You're lovely, lovely people.
Well, thank you. Stay on the line if you would. I'm going to let our folks know that they can get in touch with us through the radio program, through the website richarddugan.com. That's richarddugan.com. You can listen to Tell Me Your Story through the archives that we have available up on the website. Just go to the radio show and page 1, 2, or 3. Page 4 is growing as we do these programs. And we're actually coming up on an anniversary I'm very excited about. The 8th of September was when we first launched this specific radio show, even though I've been interviewing for nearly 30 years and talking with folks about a wide variety of subjects. And now we're honing it down, if you will. We're honing it down to more specific subject matter. And coming up next Saturday, we are going to have Sheila Kay. She's going to be talking with us about this ethereal world, if you will. And we're going to be talking about 50 ways to leave your 40s, more in terms of the spiritual aspects of the physical body aging and how we can better, who knows, maybe turn it around. Maybe not age the body. Maybe we've found the fountain of youth. We'll talk to her about that. I'm Richard Dugan. I thank you for joining us here on Tell Me Your Story. Until next Saturday at this same time. Love to all. Bye-bye.